Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
It's time for the B-A-Q-A, the B-A-Q-A, what you say? The B-A-Q-A with Mandy, the B-A-Q-A with Tiffany, the B-A-Q-A. Hey, Mandy, back in the stew.
Happy New Year.
What? Back in Happy the stew. New Year's. Ah, don't you hate that? Take that
Happy New Year's. I don't, because I'm a Southern gal. And
that's how we
if
say
you add an S to the end, it means that you like it more.
Okay? Aldi's, Walmart's,
Belk's, Kroger's. Yes. And whatever. But I'm very excited to be back for BAQA.
Yes. And
just makes me feel connected to our BA fam so much.
Yes. If you have questions that need some answers, know this, mm-hmm. that we are not your attorneys. Mm-hmm. We're not your doctor. We're not your mechanic. We're not even your mama or cousin, but we are your favorite beautiful brown internet besties mm-hmm. who are pretty smart. And although we are smart, we want you to take our advice with a small grain of salt and then lean into the people that you pay for advice, okay? Mm-hmm. It's for entertainment purposes only, okay?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And speaking of BA fam, I have to shout out the listener who recognized me at the Atlanta airport and just
yes.
like humble brag. It's usually Tiffany.
No,
but
that's not true.
She was so nice and I forgot her name because I was really stressed at that time. She reached out right after the TSA security. If you go through the TSA with two children, you know you're a little haggard. But anyway, that was so sweet. Hi, if you're listening.
So, but if you have questions, honestly, you can go to brownambitionpodcast.com. There's like a contact us button there. Slide into the DMs on IG, Brown Ambition Podcast,
yep.
the BA Podcast on Twitter. You could tweet us. Or email us at brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
I'm kind of ready to say, just go to IG. I'm ready to okay. give them fewer options.
Okay.
Are you, should we just,
I mean, I'm open. Girl,
should we decide that?
We can decide that. You can slide into our DMs on IG. That's
DMs
what you
is the best. Yeah. IG, okay. Brown Ambition Podcast on IG. It's easy. It's one thing to remember. And our admin Lauda will appreciate that.
Yes. All right. So first question, we're going to actually do a mix up. So we answer career questions, business questions, money questions. I'm going to read this money question, but I think, Mandy, you have a career question today?
I do. A very juicy one. I'm very excited.
Okay. So this is from Queen over on IG. Hello, ladies. I am desperate for some advice. I have some credit card debt that is making me lose sleep. My husband and I have not I've not been making enough money, and sometimes we spend too much. I'm wondering if we should save from our third checks. I'm not really sure what she means by that, or pay down the credit card debts that now have exorbitant interest rates. Okay, she's wondering if she should save or pay down debt. Okay, paying the debt now. Though would mean we would have to use our credit card to pay down on a used car next year. We're trying to get a second job. Okay, so Queen, it's sounding like one, you have a lot of credit card debt that is stressing you out. Two, it sounds like you feel like you might not be making enough money. And you have this car lease that's up next year. And mm-hmm. you're wondering, should you save? Because you have to get another car when this car lease goes up, or should you put that money toward the credit card debt? Because you feel like if I put down the money on this credit card debt, we don't have enough money to save. We're still going to have to get into debt to buy a car. That's what it's all sounding like. Okay. So Queen, first things first, it sounds like, and this is no judgment, that some of, to your own admission, the credit card debt that you find yourself in is not for just day-to-day living. You know, because you shared that, like, you've kind of like overspent, you know? And that happens, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't always exercise the full control that we have over our credit cards. So it sounds like you might need to just say, you know, we need to cut out the usage of these credit cards, because it's going to be very difficult to pay off credit cards if you're currently using those credit cards. So unless you're using credit cards for like necessities, like groceries or medicine or things you absolutely need, then I probably honestly would cut my credit cards up. I would go as far as to call the credit card company to say, lost my card, or would like for you to change the number on my credit card so they're not saved on your computer and your phone like I'm sure they are currently.
Ooh, that's smart. Yeah, that's what I need to do.
You know, because Lord knows we all have a saying. It's just right there, child. I lost it.
Give me scan. Don't Ryan, mind give if me I another do. Number. It Face should be ID another login. Exactly. Well, yes, thank you.
For real. So that's one. I definitely would like, you know, to stop credit card usage if it's possible, if you're not using it for things that are necessary. So that's one. Two, although, you know, savings, it, you know, is great. Unfortunately, I'm assuming when you said exorbitant interest rates that you have double digits interest rates. So whenever you're deciding whether to save or pay down debt, one of the things that should lead that decision is what does the interest look like? So if you put your money and you save it into a savings account, the most interest you're probably going to earn right now is like what, 4%, give or take. But I'm sure your interest rates for your credit card debt, 20, maybe even 30%. So if the credit cards are costing you 20% and savings is only going to make you 4%, then you're probably going to want to put more money toward paying down that debt, because it's costing you, that debt is so expensive that it's costing you whatever savings you would have saved. So I would focus most of my time and energy, certainly set aside a little something for emergencies, but most, like if I had $100, I might do like $20 savings, $80 credit card debt, that kind of like mix, because your credit card debt is just costing you so much. And getting a second job, you know, might not be a bad idea, but before you get a second job, I want you to sit down and look at your budget to see like, do we actually make enough to cover what we need to cover? Because I would hate for you to take on additional work when really it's a matter of budgeting, you know? So I would sit down and look at my budget and ask myself like, okay, like the amount of money that we're making, you know, based upon like what we have to spend to maintain our lives, there's actually enough money here. It might be. And if not, then certainly you can look at, you know, looking at additional income. And then my last final thing is that, like I shared this on the Wednesday show, is that this year I have my annual Live Richer Challenge. It starts January 14th, but sign up for the free challenge it starts January 15th, Monday, but sign up ends January 14th. And so I encourage you and anybody who has any credit issues, Queen, to go to LRCcredit.com and sign up for the challenge. We already have 300,000 people plus signed up. You will not be alone. There will be other people struggling with credit. Week one, you learn how is your credit even calculated. Week two, how to grow and your credit score. And week three, how to maintain credit so you never find yourself in this position again. It's totally free. It's a 3-week like email course. It comes with an app that's free as well that we just built. And so I think that's going to help you as you navigate your credit journey so you find yourself not in this position again. So lrccredit.com, the link will be in the show notes. But I wish you well, Queen. Anything I forgot, Mandy, as for that advice?
Get thee to the library and get Tiffany's book and her workbook. Is your workbook going to be in the library?
Wade Hole's in the library too. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm writing at my library, I work on the nonfiction floor or near that section, and I just stroll over to the business section sometimes and I say, hi, Tiv.
Oh, really? Oh, that's so crazy.
It's so cool that you're in the library.
Right? I used to live in the library as a kid. Like, yes. I love the library.
Go back. Libraries are fucking amazing.
They are amazing.
Ugh. My thing is with the car and credit card debt, at the end of the day, even though it makes sense on paper to pay down credit card debt and that sounds good and save and all that, but you need a good car, you know? So, especially like, you know, most working people, the car is in this country, it's like the way to get to the opportunity to make the money. Mm-hmm. So, I would just say, make sure you're getting safe transportation. And sometimes safety comes before logic and mm-hmm. credit card bills. You know, and if you're in a situation where you might need to like consolidate debt, if it's too much, if you're in over your head, you know, look for ways to consolidate debt, do a balance transfer to make it a little bit less cumbersome, make it less stressful, less expensive, help you kind of tackle it. But I agree with Tiff. And I think the thing with budgeting that's so scary when you have that kind of debt is like emptying out the drawer and looking at all the stuff that's in it. Oof. I think, that's going to be the hard part, but lock arms with your partner and do it together because you ain't going to get out of this. You're doing it. You're getting into the hole together, but you're not going to get out without being together. Mm-hmm. If you're not both on the same page. Yes. So I wish you so much luck and thank you for that question. And here's a
nonprofit real quick. So the National Foundation of Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. They're a great nonprofit that help walk people through, like if you really need the extra handholding, consider them as well. They have nonprofit partners around the country. So you would go to nfcc.org and you would find one in the closest area to you. So if you kind of need to sit with a credit counselor, that you'll be able to work with a credit counselor there too. So good luck to you, Queen.
Thank you, Queen. Should we take a quick break and be right back with my, you're going to love this question. see you in a bit. Okay, BA fam, we are back and I am so excited to give you guys an update. If you've been listening to the show the last, few months, you might have heard back in the fall when we took a question from someone who wanted to be anonymous. So we called her Crossroads. At the time, Crossroads was looking for a job for over a year and said that she left her full-time job due to racial incidents, proliferated by her supervisor. Is that the right word? Proliferated? Done? So. Her supervisor was racist and colleagues left her feeling unsafe. She had over a decade of full-time work experience. And currently she's a full-time PhD student. And she's been working as a graduate assistant to make ends meet. Now she's getting back into the job market and feeling like not only is she, having trouble getting an offer, but because she's, a PhD graduate assistant, she's finding the pay is not matching her level of experience. And she was really trying to, find a position. So her ultimate question is that should she find roles in her current field, the field that she had left because of the toxicity, or make a career switch and rebuild. Now, we're in the future now. And Crossroads sent me an update. Okay. First, she said, thank you to our advice. I guess we responded to two of her questions. And she says, I took your advice and I leaned into my network as I hadn't for quite some time in my search. To my surprise, love this. A lot of folks didn't know I was looking for a job since I'm still in school. They were very helpful and I yielded several leads. I landed an interim role in a different field that lasted for 2 months through the end of this year, 2023. It was a great opportunity. I learned a lot in a short period of time and it even sparked an entrepreneurial flame that I plan to invest in within the coming year. 2024 now has come with a bang. Ooh. I have received two job offers within the first few days of the new year. Both are what I specifically prayed for, and I am immensely grateful. My experience on the long-term job search has taught me so much about myself and given me clarity on my career path moving forward. Thank you so much for both your answers and support for afar. You made me feel seen and understood during a time when I felt just the opposite. May God continue to bless you both. Your work on Brown Ambition is a ministry. This is the best part. Signed, no longer at a crossroads.
Oh my gosh. Girl, you make me cry. That is the best.
Oh, it's the best. And I just love stories like this because the long road does have an end. You know what I mean? She was looking for a job for so long. A lot of people are, especially when you're at a certain level in your career where what you're looking for is rarer. And that's what I have to tell people, like adjust expectations. It's going to take a while. Yes. But that's just, thank you. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah.
So proud of you.
So is that normal? Cause I had a friend who got his master's, super smart, had great jobs. And then it took 6 months. They were like, wait, what's going on? So is that like,
that's not even that bad.
Really? Cause I was going to say that you know, before, you know, prior to this, you know, 3-4 months maybe, but like, so is that typical that kind of like the higher you get in your career, the more education you get, that like replacing that job, that that you're seeing people take 6 months or longer to find a replacement?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but okay. I would say if you are someone who's, yes, you have a particular skill set and, you know, depending on changes by industry, some industries, if you hit it at the right moment, they're really hiring and jobs are plentiful. We kind of all went through that in 2021 and now we're leveling out. The job market is really strong right now, but people don't really feel that way because it's taking a little bit harder, a little bit longer to find jobs, not a little bit, a lot of bit longer to find jobs. It feels like there's fewer of them out there, even though job numbers are still exceeding expectations. And the reason is why this is kind of what a normal job market feels like. I looked up this data for my book because I'm still doing that, writing a book. And I think the average, there's a stat, the average, let me just look it up real quick. Okay. So this is a stat I just cited in my book, coming to a library and bookstore near you at some point in the future. I don't know. I got to write it first. How long it actually takes to find a job is about 5 months.
Really?
Yes. That's on average. Okay. So I think it's not to deter people from, you know, being on the lookout, but this is, I do know the trick, as Crossroads has found, of speeding up that timeline, working your network at all times. Yes. And I find that people who shelter in school, or not shelter in school, but they're going back to school, they're getting an MBA, they're getting a PhD, they're doing a certificate program. It feels like you're doing a thing for your career when you're in school. And you are. You are elevating your skills. You're making yourself more attractive as a job candidate. But the worst thing you can do is also not engage with your network and keep them engaged. The minute that Crossroads, we just heard from her, opened her mouth and said to her network, I am looking for work. She had a decade of experience. It's coming back to me now what I said to her at the time. Like, with a decade of experience, you met so many people across that timeline. They need to know that they can help you, that you're looking for a help. And so I would just say to anyone who's facing or, you know, thinking about quitting or pivoting into a new field, or, you know, you've been let go, unfortunately. 3 to 6 months, I feel like, is a safe, that's why they say 3 to 6 months of your income, save it. But if you want the cheat code, the only cheat code I can think of when it comes, it ain't your resume. It sometimes isn't even the skills that you can attain. It is making great relationships over the course of your career, investing in them like seeds, seeds that you don't plan to sow until you absolutely need it. And there's no,
and that's how he got his job. He, one of his literally like elementary school friends, like was like, wait a minute, I didn't know. Okay. And then put in a good word. And, you know, cause we don't think that, we think that like, you know, I applied.
You think we're all out here working hard and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. No, that's BS.
People putting a good word in for you is so critical. So I'm so happy, Crossroads. Honestly, I would love VA fam if you did that more, that if we answer the question for you, or even if we didn't answer a question directly, let's just say you listened and you heard some advice and it applied to your situation. We'd love an update if we answered your questions, or we would just love, hey, that thing you told that other person, it worked for me too. And here's how, because I think it's great for people to hear that, you know, they're not alone, and that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So
every tunnel. Okay. I do want to get to this new question because I can't wait. I can't wait for your update email, because this one just made me chuckle. So the first thing you got to know is this comes from someone who wants us to call him Budget Bro.
Okay.
That's right, Tiffany. Bro. Budget Bro says, and this, hello ladies, he says, I need to get with Kevin and work out the details, LOL. If y'all are, you know, I don't even know if you have to be an OGBA listener, but Kevin is our favorite. Kevin was a male listener. I mean, he is still a male listener who we had him on the show because he used to write in the most incredible questions, starting with his wife and his advice for her about her career, which we had to set him straight on. But I just love that Budget Bro has listened and wants to be besties with Kevin, because based on his question, I think they would get along just fine. All right. Budget Bro says, I'm 31. I work in the chemical refining industry as an analyst at an amazing company in Louisiana. I make about $135,000 a year, but I can add $20,000 to that and make $155,000 $155,000 a year with overtime. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm married. We have two toddlers. Oh, God bless. I don't have any debt aside from student loans. We own a home. I am leaning into my middle-aged suburban dad era, and I am excited. Yes. I love you, Budget Bro. He says, my site has a specialist role that I applied for. It combines my skills as an analyst with more of the operations day-to-day tasks. I'm excited because I feel like it's a segue into raising through the ranks with the company. And the role that I am in now is often seen as a really cushy retirement role. So people just don't quit it. This new role is in the same department, but it's more in the project management side. However, this would mean a pay cut to about $120,000, and I wouldn't be eligible for overtime. Mm-hmm. So just to get back with the numbers, he's making 135K base. He can get up to 155K if he does overtime. This would be going down to 120K mm-hmm. base. But here's the thing about the new role. The new role is a 4-day work week. Ooh. No nights, no weekends. Right now, he's doing shift work, which is a mix of days and nights, 12-hour shifts, and about 15 days a month. So he's going to be going from that to a 4-day work week if he takes this pay cut.
Okay. And you got two babies at home.
And two toddlers at home. Okay. He says, the money isn't really the issue as we are living below our means as it is. Okay. I have also been able to get a lot of schoolwork done during my 10 to 14 days off a month as well as when I work nights. I would like to start an MBA program in the spring, and the new role would cut into that, the time that he has. Okay. Oh, I missed this part. Right now he's working like 15 days a month, but they are 12-hour shifts, a mix of day and nights. Okay. So he's going from like an unusual hardcore schedule that's like fewer days a month. This would be more of like all day normal work day, but for 4 days a week. He says, what should I do? Should I take this new role that would allow me to be home nightly with my wife and kids or wait until I'm done with my MBA and apply for another role then? I'm torn. Thank you, Budget Bro.
Oh, so well, on the career side, you know, that's not my specialty, but I am a specialist on living life because I'm living.
You know stuff about career stuff.
No, so here's what I always ask myself when like met with like a decision that has kind of like sometimes competing outcomes. I ask myself, pushing all that aside, what is it that I desire for my life? What is my desired outcome? Who do I see myself as? What do I want? And so it might be, you might say something like, I want to be a present father. I want to be, for example, when we were kids, my dad got his master's, his MBA in economics or in finance, and then his bachelor's in economics or finance, right? So he really wanted professionally to like be on the stock market, like, you know, but then my mom had one girl, two girls, three girls, five girls. Mm-hmm. And he had to make a decision based upon who did he actually want to be. Certainly he wanted to be a stockbroker and make a ton of money, but he really also, because he didn't have a present father, he wanted to be a present father. And so instead he took finance jobs that were 9 to 5, ended up being like the CFO for a small nonprofit and then the CEO of that small nonprofit. And it didn't pay nearly as much because as nonprofits are opt not to do, but my dad used to take us to school in the morning, used to pick us up from school because he got out at a reasonable time. He was super hands-on, almost too hands-on. I'm like, damn, daddy, can I breathe? Right? But he made that decision because he said with all these girls, he wanted to make sure they had a strong male figure in his life. And he decided that that desired outcome outweighed the desired outcome for more money. So certainly we were, because of that, you know, sometimes life was a little rough because it was expensive raising five kids. So for you, Kevin, it's not Kevin. Who is this? What's this?
Budget Bro.
For you, Budget Bro, it's not really the job thing. You have to decide what is my ultimate desired outcome for my life. And then you align work to it. You don't decide what work is and then align your life to it. And if you do that, you know, my dad doesn't regret picking us, you know, the kids, you know, because as a result, you know, we're all like well-loved, looked after, you know, we we were able to have a very present father. And the truth is, I am the budgetista as a result of the education my father gave me about personal finance. There wouldn't be no budgetista. Imagine, had he chosen the stock market and more money, you know, certainly I would be a girl with a lot more money, but not the knowledge that he imparted on me because he was physically here. So that's what I just say is that choose from that place and then align your job decisions and back to school with the life and how you want to show up as a man, you know, so.
I love that advice. I agree. I think, you know, when I got your question, Budget Bro, I went back and reread it because I wanted to see, is this something that you have already applied for? Do you have an offer? And you just say that you have applied. What I like about, you know, what I would typically say is like, wait until you've got an option before you consider it. Like, don't hem and haw. Like, you don't have to figure out what you would do. I'm glad that you went ahead and applied for it, because I think a lot of people will just wait and think, well, should I? What if? And I'm like, just apply so you have something to, like, something real to compare to, like an actual real live concrete option that you can choose between rather than just the idea. So you're getting your MBA, you're going to put in your, you know, you're going to put your hat in the ring for this position. If you get it, here's what I will say to you. There's no wrong answer here. You can take the position. And I feel like in your field, you have highly specialized skills. You're going to get an MBA. You said that you're, you know, this job that you're doing now is more like, you know, shift work. And it sounds to me almost like you're a day laborer in the job. I know that you're not a day laborer, but just as like a, you know, as a analogy, like sort of like a day laborer, you're paid for your time and for the specific skill that you have, and this like more management type operations, project management type role that could lead down, you know, a career path with more avenues and more branches on that tree. That makes a lot of sense. And if you want to pursue that, I feel like you should. You're only 31. Go try it out. And then here's the thing that you have to think about, like, okay, so what if I don't like it? What if 4-day work weeks, you know, I think I get more time with my kids, but actually I preferred only working half a month, even though they were really rigorous shifts. You get to try it out and then you can compare. And I feel like because of your unique skill set, you can always go back to doing that 15 day, like more, you know, the overtime, the hourly work that you were doing before. I don't think you need to, it doesn't mean that if you choose this path, it has to be the forever path. But I do feel like you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't take on a new opportunity and try something different and get that experience. And like you said, I like that you're thinking about your career with the company that you're at. You love where you work. You got this great foundation for your life. I think you can afford to try something a little bit different. And I would say if you, and again, this goes back to what I was saying about crossroads and other career pivoters, when you're getting an MBA, I don't want you to wait until you get that degree to then start looking for other opportunities. This could be a great way for you to get some project management experience while pursuing your MBA. And then when you graduate, you don't have to go find a job if you want to do project management work and start from scratch. Like, they can say, well, you got this great MBA, but do you have any project management experience? Because that is what very narrow-minded recruiters and hiring managers will do when they get resumes. But you can have that experience, you know, on your resume. And that can be not only, you know, a way to make you a more attractive candidate, but it can also give you an opportunity to make connections with people, build relationships through your program, you know, with hiring managers, recruiters that can serve you down this, you know, long, fruitful career that you're, you know, building for yourself. So I just want to give you permission to try it out and see what happens. Hopefully your partner, your wife agrees with me because she's involved in this too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whatever you do, even though you're, you know, it would be a pay cut. I know you acknowledge that, but time is something you just can't get back.
Yes.
And having just white knuckled my way through 7 months without consistent childcare, I wouldn't recommend it, but I kept doing it. I don't know why. It's hard, but you have to, like, what I think about all the time is I'm not going to get an opportunity like this again to be around my newborn, my baby, my infant, and be there for drop off and pick up with my son. And although homeboy, I just told dad today, his dad, I was like, my husband. I was like, we're going to add an hour to Rio's pickup time because I'm really enjoying this be at home. Aww. He got mommy at 4 p.m., but let's try 5. But anyway, that time is really great. And your kids will change. Your kids will grow. They're going to need you less. And then maybe you can change your schedule according to that. But mm-hmm. yeah, I love what Tiff, you said about like building the career around the life that you have yeah. now. And just know that it can change. You're in charge of it. So you mm-hmm. can change. You know, you change your mind down the line and make a different choice depending on what your family needs and what you need yeah. Moving forward. But
life goes by in such a flash, you know? Like literally,
if you're lucky.
Did you see the Kev on stage? He was like, because I guess his son is going to college. He was like, the baby, you know, lifts their head, holds their bottle, burps, crawls, and then they're in college. You're like, what the hell?
Don't say that.
I know.
I'm in an ongoing argument with Maria, with my oldest, who's 4. Is you're not going to grow up. I'm like, I'm not letting you eat vegetables. Have some candy. I'm not letting you grow up. Here's the candy. You want junk food? Here you go. French fries. You're not going to get any bigger with these. It works. He's like, no, mommy, I have to grow up. You know I have to get bigger. Oh man. I'm yeah. like, mm-mm.
So you really want to lean in not and allowed. Enjoy, you know, and then, yeah, because one day, you know, your kid is a teenager and then older and grown. And so, no, I just think that, yeah, I mean, and that's just advice for everyone. And this is advice I'm trying my hardest to lean into myself, is to determine the life that I want and to make everything else fit professionally, to make it fit. You know, sometimes, you know, obviously you have to make some concessions and that's normal, you know, but I don't want to be led by the business and the career and the, you know, like that. That's the only place I make decisions from. I've done that. And although it's led to certainly a significant amount of success, but also a significant amount of stress. You know, I always think to myself, like, you know, you want success, but how will it meet you? Healthy, happy, whole, or stressed, like not even able to enjoy it, not being able to even physically enjoy it because you're in such a bad state. And so, yeah, so we wish you well, budget bro. You know, yay. Bros, any other bros, you can write in. We don't bite.
We're going to start a little club.
I know, you and Kevin.
This is, you know, and I bet budget bro found out about us the same way Kevin did, probably just like being wife. In the car while his wife was listening to Brown Ambition. Yes. Smart. I know you guys are listening. I know you are.
Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's like when guys watch, like, you know, your show with you.
I know how they was. He was bopping his head to the Taylor Swift exactly. concert movie. He right? sure was.
And then when you, I remember Jarrell used to be like, wait, so what happened on Love & Hip Hop? That's crazy. I'm like, I thought you didn't watch that. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. And then especially mm-hmm. at work when people talked about it, he would try to get like updates. Like, okay, so wait, what happened? I'm like, who are you trying to impress at work? So you act like you part of the know. Oh, yeah. So, all right, y'all. This is the BAQA, and we hope that you enjoyed. And certainly you can slide into our DMs on IG if you have questions. Brown Ambition Podcast. And please share. You know, this is the year of sharing. If you love Brown Ambition, and we know that you do, don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode. If you ever hear a question that's answered, you're like, my best friend just asked me about that. Share it with him, her. Yeah, that we are.
Leave us a review.
Yes. We don't want to be a best kept secret.
Y'all want to send us any Christmas gifts, holiday gifts. So the best gift you can give us is your love and a rating and a review on yes. Apple Podcasts.
Yes.
And like Tiffany said, share it, tag us, spread the love. Yes. 8 years and still going, baby.
I know.
Love it.
All right, y'all. Until next week. Bye-bye.
How do we end the show again?
Just bye.
Bye.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.